This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Getting up, getting out, or only just getting home? It's Joy Weekend Breakfast.
Good morning, Dina Curie.
Hello, lovelies. How are you? I'm having young talent time flashback. Just now, listening to you both.
Do you agree? Because you're an Aussie. Danny was such a bigger star than Kylie to begin with.
Oh, Danny was huge. Yes. And remember, like, back then, remember when Danny and Kylie did Sisters?
Yes.
On Young Talent Time. And it was like, they were making jokes about, look, Kylie's singing, but doesn't she just act? Like,
yeah.
It's so funny when you look at that now and think the branding machine around them both, because they were just both amazing.
Amazing. See, Paul, this is all Australian.
All the stuff I've missed. Yeah.
Pop culture.
I should have been
missed.
Here 20 years ago. Or maybe 40 years ago. So, Dean, thank you for joining us this morning. Now, we got you on because you were doing something wonderful yesterday. Tell us all about it.
Yesterday or like Monday?
Was it on Monday? My apologies. I only saw it yesterday.
It was on Monday. Yeah, I'm like, it's midsummer. Do you know how many things I've been doing?
I did. You're a busy man about town.
Don't get me wrong.
You have been busy this week, though. I said that to Paul. I said, Dina Curie has been everywhere this week.
You know, I mean, it's weird after the last couple of years, things being the way they are, but it's nice to have that rhythm back, and it's nice to know I'm doing a little differently.
Yeah.
But on Monday, I was one of the drag artists that got to be a part of the inaugural Pride Day at the Australian Open, and it was absolutely amazing.
Fantastic. So good they've actually come up with and started doing that in recognition of the LGBTI community.
Well, what's wonderful about this is it's not just that they came up with it. The brilliance of it is that Pride Cup has been working with Tennis Australia for years. It was meant to happen last year, but obviously, you know, let's not talk about 2021. But they've been working with Tennis Australia for years to try and figure out what they can do and how they can elevate inclusion within the tennis and the Australian Open. And this was a brilliant way for them to do it. It was the very first one, and I think, everyone obviously saw me in a literal tennis ball dress. So yes. part of that partnering was a conversation and a plan about how we could make something like that. So we all got together and figured out how to make a tennis ball gown for me, which was fabulous.
It was beautiful.
You look stunning, Dean, yeah, I have to tell you.
I wish we could show our listeners photos, but it's floating around on social
263
media.
Tennis balls surrounding my body.
weighing
40 kilograms, painted in the Pride flag colours. And then I had a nude dress underneath with trans beading across one breast and the inclusion beading down one arm.
Gorgeous.
It was really beautiful and wonderful.
You must have been knackered wearing 40 kilos of balls.
You know what's funny? The beauty of Gaetano, who designed this dress, actually put a little belt in that sat on top of my hip padding. So there were only two pressure points, which one was on my padding and the other was on my shoulder. And, you know, like it was a long day, but the pressure was never sitting directly on me. Of course, the next day when I saw the chiropractor, a whole other story. But it was just to be able to create something like that and wear it and have it be a part of the day. And the day was absolutely amazing. And I know a lot of people just see pictures of the drag queens up front and think that's what it's all about, but it actually wasn't. The day had performances by queer artists, lots of roving performers, people, all over the tennis had inclusion flags. We were chatting with young children. There was young gender diverse children there that was absolutely fantastic to help create a space to let everyone feel a bit more welcome and inclusive. And they did all throughout the week, because we've obviously had the Glam Slam kick off yesterday as well, the Glam Slam tournament. They've had lots of inclusion training and talk sessions, and it's really just opened up. It's opened up the back end of what inclusion means in the other side of things, not just at the front with some drag queens, which I think is pretty cool.
It's so wonderful, too, that it felt, I mean, it being the first one this year and the dates kind of aligned, but it really felt like it fed from Carnival Day naturally into the next day. And a lot of people that were at Carnival were then at the Pride Day and, you know, with the AO and stuff. So I think with such a huge sporting event, which gains so much publicity amongst the general public, for Tennis Australia to continue to do this as you know, and it feeding from midsummer.
They're already excited for next year.
Yeah, it's incredible because the visibility, as you say, the visibility that we saw amongst the general community was just fantastic.
And it is. You're absolutely right. And that, when you look at big orgs like this, when you look at big sporting events like this, it's though, you know, we used to, just think about it, 7 years ago, we couldn't even get up a pride flag at a sport event. Do you know what I mean? Like, we couldn't even, you know, none of us would have felt comfortable with a rainbow scarf or something like that. Look at where we are now. Mm. Look at the work and effort that's being put into it and what that's going to mean for so many, not just younger generations, but older ones that have never been able to be themselves at these sports or sporting events. Like, you really can't underestimate the difference these kind of events make in just creating a more welcoming space for everyone to enjoy sport.
Well, and also the athletes as well, because, you know, there's all this constant talk around athletes not being open about their sexuality or their gender identity. You know, if we can have events like this, maybe some athletes will feel more comfortable.
Athletes will feel more comfortable, sure. Now, I got to ask you a quick question. I mean, I saw this story because I was looking, as a Brit, was looking on the BBC website, and they had a wonderful article celebrating the entire day. They talked about all the stuff you've just mentioned there about how wonderful it is that this is being recognised. I did not see anything on the ABC, and I just wonder what is happening with mainstream media that, you know, these things seem to slip through the net, so to speak.
Well, I don't think it's that they slip through the neck. Unfortunately, there's so much going on. Midsummer Carnival took a big chunk of that energy and space and time. We were all over Channel 9 during the day. Channel 9 were doing crosses left and right, but the focus was the Grand Slam. Even though in quite a few of the press releases in regards to it, they mentioned the Pride day and mentioned things that were going to be going on, because the reveal on the day was actually, you know, my dress. We had Avril Lavigne, we had Asia Buffet, we had Miss J. It was great to be able to have trans artists be a part of that as well. And what was really we had all this stuff going on the day, but until the stuff actually happens, it's just a paragraph in a press release. So they all focused on Courtney Act. That's the bottom line. Like, they all focused on the fact that, oh, look, there's Courtney. So you'll see tons of articles that mention the Pride Day, but the focus is Courtney Act. And because there's so much going on with the tennis and Midsummer just started, they've already done an article where they've touched on the Pride Day, so why do it more?
Yeah.
So it was social media where the focus and attention was. And that's when you think, look at what's going on and the massive stuff that's happening in regard to it. You know, it's there's so much happening, and all the media attention has actually been about this weekend, and, you know, where the Grand Slam's going on, and we've got lots of queer artists and people playing against actual tennis players, which is now, Grand Slam's in its third year. So I understand what you're saying, you know, like, it's like, why can't we get that more attention? But at a time like Midsummer, it's so hard for all of us to get the attention. There's so much amazing queer art and culture. It's so difficult for everyone to get the attention wherever they need it, whatever they need it on. It was a huge day, but it was driven by social media and driven by community and inclusion instead of being driven by press releases. And next year, they've got all this collateral to be able to elevate and show and use, and that'll be fantastic.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head just beforehand by saying, you know, it's just wonderful how far we've moved forward. And, you know, you think about the elevation of the LGBTI community within the sporting arena. This is just another step forward for our community. Dean, you look gorgeous, darling, in that dress.
Thank you.
So wonderful. Thanks for joining us here this morning, and it's great to catch up with
pleasure.
You. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, lovely.
Bye, darling.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.